There's a lot of interesting things taking place in our gospel passage this morning from Luke. You know, he could have ended the story with the 10 being sent on their way and being made well along the way. And it still would have been this miraculous story of Jesus healing 10 lepers. He could have gone just a little bit farther and named how among those 10, one of them was a Samaritan, an outsider, a foreigner, someone who was not accepted within the Jewish community. And it could have been not just a story about Jesus' power to heal, but also a reminder of how God's gifts of grace and mercy are for all people, not just the insider crowd. But Luke gives us these interesting details about how not only was there a Samaritan among the 10, but only the Samaritan turned and returned to Jesus, threw himself at Jesus' feet, praising God. And we have this interesting exchange between the two of them, where Jesus asks, "Where are the other 9? Weren't there 10 of you that went on their way?" Which is such an odd question to me. Because, Jesus, isn't it clear that the other 9 are doing what you told them to? That they're faithfully following your command to go and show themselves to the priests? But I think we have that question, that Jesus puts that prompt there to alert those who have the ears to hear that something more is being pointed at in our gospel passage this morning. You know, I think that although it would be easy to lift up this one Samaritan as the one who had faith and the rest didn't, I think that it's equally compelling to read that those 9 were faithfully following out the command that Jesus had given them. Just as we heard in our other reading, how Naaman followed the command that Elisha gave him and so found healing. These 9 did as Jesus asked and were made well and were healed. And yet, Jesus brings our attention, Luke brings our attention, to this one who turned back. And I think something that might be going on here is that for those 9, they recognized the life-changing nature of this miraculous healing and the way that it allowed them to return to their lives, return to the loved ones that they had been severed from, return to the communities that they had been a part of, return to the rhythm of religious practice, that they had been given a clean slate, that they had been given this mercy and were allowed to once again enter into the rhythm of faithfully seeking to follow God's teachings in order to maintain their righteousness. But I think that something about that fellow from Samaria allowed him to see that this was not just a healing like was heard about or written about in the religious texts. That there was something new that had taken place here. That this healing was a sign of something to pay attention to. A new reality taking place in his life, in his community, to orient his life around. Because we know, don't we, friends, that the grace that God offers, the grace that freely flows from Jesus, is bigger than mere second chances, is wilder than just being restored for a moment to right relationship with the law, given a new opportunity to try and live as we ought to. It's more scandalous than just wiping our debts clean, more powerful than simply healing our physical bodies. The grace of Christ makes us new creations. Through Christ, all people are able to become adopted children of the sovereign God. Because of Jesus, we are co-inheritors of eternal life. Of those 10 that were healed that day, that had that life-changing miracle take place, all of them experienced newness of life and healing and hope that they hadn't had before. But only the the foreigner among them have the revelation, the understanding that this healing was a sign of a new way being ushered into the world. A way of new life here and now and in a life to come. A new way of life where we can understand how much God loves us and claims us so that we are freed from having to justify ourselves by proper adherence or religious rightness. A new way, a new reality through this person, Jesus the Christ. And so he goes back, falls at Jesus' feet, praising God. And this part is so wild to me, how this exchange between the two of them ends. You know, he has this life-changing epiphany, recognizes that he's had this encounter with the divine, and the Lord incarnate in front of him basically says, "It's cool. You get it. You're good. You know, you can just roll on back home. We're cool here." Like, he comes back because his whole life is going to be different from this day forward. And the one through whom he has received this revelation says, "Go on your way." Which I think reminds both Jesus' followers and us here today that when we enter into this new way of life, when we follow Jesus, when we orient our lives around him, it doesn't silo us off from the rest of existence. It doesn't put the world in one corner and us in another. When we are oriented towards Christ, towards following him, it points us back out to the world that we live in, to the relationships that we have, to the communities that we're a part of, to the people in need around us. Praising God isn't an activity that only happens at the feet of Jesus or from the comfort of a church pew on Sunday morning. Praising God takes place any time we seek to show our love for God through loving someone else, particularly when we seek to love those among us who are most vulnerable or in need. You know, praising God happens at the store when we remember the sock drive and pick up some socks to bring to church. It happens when we're in the kitchen and we choose to make some sandwiches or a meal to help feed the hungry, or when we go to Sussex Outreach Services to stock shelves. Praising God happens in those quiet moments when someone's grieving and we're there with them, when we extend forgiveness in the midst of a relationship that's broken and needs healing. Praising God happens any of these times where we seek to offer our resources, our time, our words, or our actions to be signs of love and life, hope and peace and justice in this world because of the love that we have received first through Christ. For in the midst of all these things, in the midst of that healing that day, in the midst of us going about our lives, going on our own way, it is God who continues to faithfully show up, to reveal through those words and those actions, those moments of healing and transformation when it is most needed, about God's abiding faithfulness, God's presence here and now, working through these words and these actions to bring about hope and new life, transforming us, those around us, our communities, and even our world. Thanks be to God. Amen.